You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
Welcome back. I'm Ashley Lecomte-Lozich, head of R&D for Smart Equine.
And I'm Jenna Bosgarden, manager of digital marketing for Smart Equine. Last week, we talked a whole bunch about joint health and a lot of the things that we can do externally, like movement and therapies. And in this episode, we're letting Ashley really take the reins, pun fully intended, on the nitty-gritty of joint health.
I am so excited. We're going to discuss what to look for in joint supplements, how to read labels, what to know about ingredients. And then at the end, we'll touch on drugs and pharmaceuticals for joint support too.
And if you thought we talked a lot in the last episode, saddle up. Pun intended again. Sorry, guys. This one's a big one, though, and it's really important. So hang in there. It's going to be a lot of science-y stuff, but a lot of really, really good stuff to cover, too.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
Here we are, as promised, back to do a deep dive on joint supplements and even chat about drugs and other options for joint support. Are you ready, Ashley?
I am ready. I've been ready since we decided we had to do a part two last time because we couldn't stop talking. So here we are for part two. We're so excited to get into the nitty gritty of it. Where should we start?
I think we're going to start with what we do best. We're going to talk supplements to get really into it and kind of recap what we talked about last time for anybody who hasn't had time to get into that. Okay. So for anybody who couldn't join us or who just wants a reminder of what we talked about last time, part one was the science of better
stride,
joint health.
Right? Yeah, joint health. That's right. Okay.
And now this is better joint supplement. So really what we talked about last time was a lot of just understanding, you know, why joint health matters and like knowing that movement is medicine and all sorts of things like that. We talked about, you know, therapy products you can use on the horse, like magnetic therapy and ceramic therapy and all that kind of stuff, turnout, warm up, cool down. So that was a lot of what we covered there. If any of that sounds interesting or like something that you either already do and want to learn more about or don't do and maybe want to think about starting, definitely take a pause, hit the rewind and go listen to that episode and then come meet us back here. But for anybody who's like, yep, got it, clocked it, ready to move on, we're going to talk about supplements and like the real health behind all of that. So we know that strengthening the surrounding muscles is really important and maintaining healthy body weight is really important, just like all of that. But I think something that I always want to talk about is in these episodes is like how supplements are pretty misunderstood in a lot of ways. And as a supplement company and a health company, like this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So I kind of want to give you the floor a little bit on like supplements and like how they're best used to kind of kick us off on that.
Sure. Okay. So I want to just kind of echo what you just said about movement being medicine, right? We're strengthening muscle bellies, surrounding those joints to support them. We're maintaining healthy body weight. We're improving our range of motion, getting the circulation going. I want us to think about that as like the foundation of the house, the structure of the house, and the supplements are like the fancy whirlpool appliances, right? So these are like the things that we're going to use to put a cherry on top of a really strong foundation of nutrition, hay-based, forage-based nutrition, a strong lifestyle where horses are moving as much as they can, and an overall, really all-encompassing management program. So supplements are certainly, you know, misunderstood. There's a lot of people out there that, one, either think that they're all snake oil and that they don't work, or have this idea that they are drugs, and if they're not doing something crazy, then they're not working at all. So the first thing to note is that with supplements, it is a consistency game. I know that historically, you and I have used that if I take my multivitamin once a week, why isn't it working scenario to kind of explain this. But this is something where it isn't a drug, right? So it's not going to deliver changes to the cartilage itself. It's not going to manipulate your body. It's not going to change your bone structure. All it's going to do is help your body function the way that it was supposed to function. So whether that means restoring optimal levels of vitamins and minerals or helping to support, you know, the cartilage that's already in those joints, it's important to note that like time and consistency are really needed to help get those circulating levels up. And they're not quick acting. They take a little bit of time, which is why I think last, maybe it wasn't last episode, a couple episodes ago, you were answering the question, how long should I wait to get the desired effect that I'm going for? And what do we usually say, like 8 weeks or so?
Yeah, 8 weeks. From my time on customer care, it was 8 weeks to really start seeing results. And I think it was up to 3 to 4 months to really feel like you are getting the maximum benefit from that and seeing it, if it's something that you're going to see. Because I know that's something that we've talked about too, where not every benefit is super, super visible to the naked eye or really at all, but it doesn't mean it's not working.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, some of these things are like a feel. Like I've talked about like Andy's shoulder thing, and no one really knows what the shoulder thing is. The shoulder doesn't x-ray bad. Like it is just this thing that I feel because I know him and he's my horse and I'm his rider. And I notice that when we do consistent chiropractic work and when he's on Smart Perform Advanced and Smart Stride Ultra, he feels better. So some of these things are just, you know, between you and your horse, and it's hard to, you know, put a metric on them. But that's why it's important to take a look at the entire horse and not just, you know, at a macro level and not just micro data to assess the entire situation.
Yeah. And I think something that you had said in the last episode that I also want to reiterate is like when we think about joint health, so often we think about their legs, right? Their knees, their hocks, all of that. But like you just said, shoulder, which is for some people part of the leg, but not everybody. But joints are everywhere. Like
yes, they are.
Joints are in your horse's neck, their back, their hindquarters, all of it. So if you're like, well, my horse doesn't, you know, move badly or like I don't hear any clicking, like that's awesome. One, great job. Keep doing what you're doing. But also just keep in mind that joint health is across the body. So if your horse, you know, comes out stiff only to the left or has a hard time holding the right lead or anything like that, like there just could be a lot of things that can go into play, but like just consider that joint health is across the body as well.
Yeah, I actually have a teammate, a friend, and a boarder at my barn whose horse was just diagnosed with OA of like C4 and C5.
Ooh.
So like, and it's causing a lot of behavioral issues and like, you, referred pain is a thing. So it's sometimes difficult to even see where the issues are coming from with the naked eye, like you mentioned. So
yeah, and for people who don't live and breathe all the terminology, OA and C4 and C5.
Sorry, osteoarthritis and cervical vertebrae. So like in the neck and not in the legs, right? Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. I've had friends, thankfully, I'm not gonna knock on wood. I've never had a horse with kissing spine or things like that yet in my life, but I've had friends who have gone through it. So it's somewhat familiar to me, but I always forget things are on the horse.
Yeah. So like the spine has a lot of joints in it. There's a lot of little vertebrae that are together in there. So I think that's a great point too, is that we're looking for not just, you know, gait pattern abnormalities, but like just general discomfort or, you know, he holds his pole kind of strange. And so anyhow, there's a lot to look for. And then as far as choosing supplements, you know, we have a lot. Let's just get into it because we have a lot to discuss.
Because there's a lot to look for in supplements.
There is a lot to look for. Yeah.
Something to keep in mind as we're talking through this too is like we're going to talk about traditional supplements and like some next gen ingredients. There's also herbal support and drugs in here too. So if what you're listening for is not being talked about yet, like we're going to try to cover as much ground as we possibly can on this. So let's get into it.
Okay, super. So let's start off. I know we referenced Mother Nature's Big Three in the first part of the episode. So those ingredients, glucosamine, chondroitin, hyaluronan, right? All naturally found in high levels within cartilage tissues, synovial fluid of horses. So these are like naturally occurring compounds that are in that joint capsule and in the surrounding tissues of that joint capsule.
Yeah.
Most equine studies have examined the use of chondroitin sulfate with glucosamine. So it's kind of hard to articulate the benefits of them apart since most of them have been studied together.
Okay.
So we'll kind of tackle those together. But glucosamine's role in cartilage structure, it acts as a chondroprotective. So it supports the cartilage against degradation. It's an important building block for larger molecules called glycosaminoglycans or GAGs, which are essential components of the cartilage. Joint fluid, vertebral discs, other types of tissues. Put a pin in that. It's important. It'll all come full circle. It's helping to regulate cytokines, which are pro-inflammatory signals that the brain is receiving, giving, that's going to help to support a healthy immune response.
Okay.
Chondroitin, a GAG, glycosaminoglycan, it's helping the growth of the extracellular matrix of the cartilage. So like the building blocks of the cartilage. And it's also helping to promote that healthy inflammatory response by regulating prostaglandins, which are also pro-inflammatory signals. So really, these are naturally occurring compounds. When you supplement them, right, you're introducing more to the body, but they're helping to keep the cartilage strong, to help manage the components of the joint, and then also to regulate a healthy immune response as well as a healthy inflammatory response there.
Okay, so these, you say they partner together. A lot of the research has been done on them, is how they work in tandem. So is there ever a chance that you would see just a glucosamine or just a chondroitin sulfate supplement, or is that
you certainly would. You see it a lot in humans. It's just that as far as wanting to be, you know, research led and like founded in science, what you're typically going to see is from a research standpoint is these two molecules studied together. So oftentimes you'll find them together.
Okay. But seeing one on its own does not immediately discount it from being used.
No, of course not. Yeah. Yeah. So what these do and what they don't do, they may provide support. They do not eliminate pain. They do not reverse osteoarthritis. They are not a drug. They cannot fix damage, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So these are prophylactic options or like preventative options that you can feed, you know, anytime to any horse, just as a boost to help to help keep the joints as healthy as they are today. And then we get into hyaluronan, hyaluronic acid, sodium hyaluronate, lots of different names. There are micro nuances to why each thing is a little bit different, but we won't go back to college chemistry. But also glycosaminoglycan, a vital component of connective tissue and cartilage, most notably responsible for the lubrication of the joint and synovial fluid. So there is a relatively age-old study. It's about 20 years old. That provides pretty objective evidence that oral hyaluronic acid does reduce joint effusion or fluid retention around the joint post-operative after the arthroscopic removal of OCD lesions, which is really cool. So we do have some data that supports the use for HA post-surgical. This is like really neat stuff. So again, not a drug, not going to reverse OA, not going to fix damage, but can be used in partnership with drugs and surgical measures and veterinary expertise as that full package deal, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So HA can be used in a lot of different ways. HA, hyaluronic acid, sorry, hyaluronan, sodium hyaluronate. These are all, we're just going to use them interchangeably for now. So we have oral, which I just mentioned that study on the oral HA and the OCD lesion surgery. And then you also have injectable HA. So because the bioavailability of the oral HA is kind of debated, there's also intra-articular injections where they're going to take that hyaluronic acid and inject it directly into the joint capsule to make sure that
inflammation.
Obviously, this is a drug. This is not. So you, Smart Equine is not going to be selling you your injectable hyaluronic acid. That is certainly something that you're going to have to get through your veterinarian. But it is really interesting that, you know, just the difference in modality from oral to injectable changes, whether it's a drug or not. So we do have a lot of great science supporting the use of HA.
So when somebody says colloquially, like, I'm getting my horse's joints injected, their hocks, their coffins, is it with HA like this? Or is that a totally different compound that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. So there's different types of joint injections. One is going to be HA.
Okay.
Another is going to be corticosteroid. So the corticosteroid injections are certainly like the feel good now. And I think that it's typically reserved for like advanced OA, arthritic senior horses that you're trying to keep pasture sound. It's important to like note here that there is potential risk of long-term damage to cartilage if corticosteroids are used repeatedly at high doses.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian Nielsen, who I drop on the pod all the time, did my research under him. He has a lot of published literature to actually support that. And he's written a lot about the overuse of corticosteroids and actually the degradation of joints over time. But again, if you're using it for like a senior buddy that you're just trying to keep comfortable for the rest of his days, that's a totally different story. But HA, I think, is going to be more commonly and acceptably used because it's not going to be a degenerative like a corticosteroid.
Yeah. And for the most part, folks who are using these, not everybody, but a lot of us who are just your regular amateur adult, we're doing this under the direction of our vet. Our veterinarian is the one who's, you know, doing the injections themselves, supplying all this information. So if your horse is getting injections and you're not sure, or if you think they should be getting injections and you're not sure, that's the place to start. It's just ask them questions. Just make sure you fully understand what it is your horse either is getting or could be getting, because there's different options. We refer to them as like layman horse people as, you know, the same thing sometimes. But I think that's really cool to note that there are certain things that you can do as like a really helpful proactive solution, and things that are available for closer to the end of a riding career to make sure that they're still comfortable even after all the things that we've done, you know, leading up to that point.
Yeah. And I'm sure that this is also like widely debated. So there's probably somebody out there listening to this, like, no, I do corticosteroids. And like, listen, you and your vet make choices that you and your vet, and we, and Jenna and I are not here to judge those. But, you know, from a scientific standpoint, you know, that's where the literature stands on this.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we talk about how forage first is the best thing you can do for your horses nonstop. And I still know horses who are incredibly happy and healthy on a very heavy grain diet. It's very much, as we will always say, do your best for your horse with the information that you have with your care team. There is nothing better you can do than that. And we're just going to talk about the stuff that we know. So hang in there. You're doing a great job. We're doing our best too.
Yeah. So I'm a big fangirl of hyaluronic acid, a cool plug to one of our products, Smart Perform Advanced. We actually use a patented source called MHB3 that is designed to act as a bioidentical to the hyaluronan that's naturally produced in the equine body. So attempting to increase that bioavailability by, you know, mimicking the type of hyaluronic acid that's already found in circulating. So that's really cool. And then I would be remiss if I didn't plug, like, not Mother Nature's Big Three, but two of the oldies but goodies, MSM and collagen. MSM, highly bioavailable form of naturally occurring sulfur, which is needed for proper functioning of proteins, fundamental to collagen production, can be super useful if your horse for some reason has a sulfur deficiency. Collagen, type 2 collagen makes up like 90% of articular collagen.
Oh, wow.
Hydrolyzed and peptides, hydrolyzed collagen and collagen peptides are coming onto the market as like a higher bioavailability, easily absorbed. So those are like the marketing words that you'll see surrounding those two. But in general, collagen acts as like the scaffolding for the joint. Some research has suggested that oral collagen can help to stimulate the production of endogenous collagen. So like eating it can, or, you know, research suggests that eating it can help your body to stimulate its natural production of collagen within the body. So pretty cool there.
That is really cool. And I know for anybody who's like over the age of 20 and is a female, you're probably getting a lot of ads about collagen that you need for your own skin and health. So that should probably be a pretty familiar one for a lot of folks. I think it's really cool knowing that it is so supportive to joint health too. So something to keep in mind, that there's a lot of things that do multiple things within the body that can be really, really helpful in that way, which is, I don't know, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, skin is like a soft tissue too, right? So the same collagen and hyaluronic acid that's in your, you know, overnight face cream. A little bit different. Chemical structure is a little bit different, but still, yes, yes. So, you know, these are like the fundamental, the core ingredients that we're going to see in the majority of joint products that are available on the market. So these are good for horses in regular work. As I mentioned, prophylaxis. The majority of these are for prophylaxis preventative care. So you want to get ahead of any joint issues. You're maintaining a healthy environment. These are not drugs. They're not going to fix your problems. But as you know, if you're an owner that is interested in longstanding ingredients, fundamental ingredients with a lot of research behind them, these are some really great options.
Yeah. And I know as far as like our product lines go, we have had the Smart Flex joint support supplements for ever, right? Like these are kind of the same concept. These are tried and true. People really, really love them. I use them for my horse for, you know, the longevity of the time that the 13 years that I got to have him. And they're very well beloved for a reason. They have a lot of these ingredients at really great amounts. There's a bunch of different levels. So always worth plugging. You know, we have the regular Smart Flex all the way up to, is it Ultra? Mm-hmm. Ultimate?
Yep, we have Flex Ultra.
So many levels, guys. There's a level out there that will work for your horse at the workload they're at. And as always, I'll only plug it the one time. That might be a lie. I might plug it again at the end. But if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't know where to start, we have a great online wizard tool and we have our customer care team. Just as a reminder, if you're like, this is great, but like, I don't actually know what my horse needs. Ashley and I cannot do a podcast devoted to your individual horse, unfortunately. Honestly, would love to. But our customer care team is awesome and they'll do the same thing that we would, which is just chat through all your stuff. So that's my one plug for our great team. But now that we've talked about kind of all those tried and true, Mother Nature's Big Three and all those great things, I know there's a lot of stuff out there of like up and coming players or like next gen support that we hear about with like antioxidants and other things like that. So once again, floor is yours, but I would love to learn everything I can about what these ingredients look like and what they entail.
Sure. So I think same story here, prophylactic, proactive, preventative, all the P's. So these are, you know, attempting to help support the joints before damage is happening by helping maintain normal inflammatory responses, help the body fight back against oxidative stressors. So the first one that we will talk about is turmeric. super widespread studies on all the antis, right? Anti-tumor, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antifungal. I mean, what can't turmeric do, right? I think there's even like a TikTok joke out there. They're like, oh, my horse's leg is falling off. Like, have you tried turmeric? Like, what can turmeric do, right? So a really cool ingredient. Again, not a drug, so it's not going to fix anything. But it is widely spread or widely studied rather in human nutrition. We're seeing it pop into the small animal nutrition. And now we're seeing it pretty widespread in equine nutrition as well. So as next gen as it is, it has just taken the world by storm because there's so much great literature supporting it.
And with this, because that's an ingredient that's in my cabinet downstairs, right?
Yeah.
That's a spice that I've used for things. Is that something that people could ostensibly just go and feed their horses? Like, I fed my horse straight up paprika to help his coat darken. Is this the same thing? Or does this need to be processed in a certain way for horses to be able to actually utilize it?
Yeah. So the curcumin is like the extract within the turmeric that is doing all the wonderful things. The bioavailability is questionable. So oftentimes you'll see it paired with like a black pepper extract to help the absorption. So like when you're shopping, like I know the Costco turmeric is like bio pairing paired with turmeric to help the absorption there too. So that's something to look out for. Yes. But in the equine world, studies have actually showed lower expression of cytokines, which remember are those pro-inflammatory messengers. So yeah, the equine model, there isn't a ton of research emerging yet on bioavailability.
Okay.
So we haven't really seen the black pepper make its way into the equine supplements, but something certainly to look out for.
So don't rush down to your kitchen cabinet and start dumping turmeric into your horse's feed. But if you are interested in it, there's definitely ways to add it to your horse's diet in a way that's probably a little bit more studied and regulated. So good to know.
Yeah, yeah. And then we also have resveratrol. So this is like a natural polyphenol that's found in fruit, and it helps to neutralize free radicals, protect cells from oxidative stress. So like a lot of buzzwords here, and I won't get into the organic chemistry piece of free radicals and how the scavengers work to help neutralize those. But what we do know is that from the literature we have supporting equine studies, it has actually shown mild support for mild lameness and aging joints. So there is something there. A lot of new research on resveratrol is surfacing right now. We're seeing a lot of it up and coming. And because of my love for these ingredients, you know, hopefully as we continue marching forward with new joint products, we'll see these two continue to pop up. They are included in our Smart Stride Ultra formula, as well as our Smart Perform Ultra at really nice, high efficacious levels. So if those are two ingredients that you're searching for and you don't know where to find them, there's two options there. And then the last one that I'll mention is the ASU, the avocado soybean unsaponifiables, believed to stimulate collagen synthesis, protect cartilage, age, and aid in comfort. Again, not something that is widely spread, but something that you would see in like Cosequin ASU.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Cosequin has really like cornered the market in a really identifiable way with their Cosequin ASU. And you guys will hear us talk a lot about smart equine supplements on here, because obviously that's a lot of what we do. But Cosequin is one that has been so long revered. And there's a lot of other ones out there that people will recommend that just have great anecdotal feedback and some that have some great studies behind them. So if you don't hear your joint supplement mentioned on the podcast, that's probably okay. There's a lot out there that are great. So just keep that in mind as we're going through. But yeah, ASU is definitely one that we hear a lot about.
Yeah, you will definitely hear me fangirl about Cosequin. I do love me some Cosequin. It's a great product. So yeah, that was really cool when they came out with the ASU. I think it did definitely give them a different competitive edge. And they brought something really new and cool to the market. So hats off to ASU. We love that. And now we are seeing it, you know, pop up more and more in different areas of the industry as well. So these ingredients are going to be best for horses with maybe a little bit more demand in their workload, performance horses or horses that just need a little bit more, and owners who are excited about new cutting edge science and emerging data. So, you know, taking the leap of faith into like the next bound of research and development as far as healthcare ingredients go.
Yeah. And for people who maybe want to take the leap, but are nervous or unsure, you can totally correct me if you have a different thought on this, Ashley. But I know when we've talked to customers in the past, a lot of it has been like, you know, try it. If something is working great for your horse, kind of mentally clock, or if you have like a binder or a note that you keep, like, you know, look at what your horse is doing that you like, look at what your horse is doing that you would like to see better or improved, try something new, and then mentally clock what it looks like after a couple weeks and a couple of months. If you like it, great. You found something awesome and you can keep doing that. And if not, you have your notes on what worked before and you can go back. But a lot of it, a lot of it is so much of like how you feel. Like you said, you know how Andy feels with his shoulder.
Totally.
So I, for me, at least, I had to take some pretty copious notes when I was trying new supplements because the feel, sometimes I would convince myself that, you know, well, it's winter, so it feels different here. But just knowing your horse and knowing you, like it's always worth trying something if you think it could be better. But there's nothing wrong with going back to what's worked before if it doesn't.
I totally agree. I think it's like a lot of, you know, because these are not drugs and they're not founded in, you know, 3-phase clinical trials, a lot of it is going to be guess and check on what works, you know, trial and error on what works for your horse and what doesn't. And, you know, while that can be relatively time consuming, you know, like you said, taking a couple weeks to try a new product, if it doesn't work, you go back to the tried and true. The cool thing is that with products like Smart Perform or Smart Stride, you're coupling these new ingredients like turmeric and resveratrol with the tried and true. So you're still going to see that Mother Nature Big Three. So it is going to present you kind of like an all-encompassing option there with most of those tried and true ingredients alongside of these newly pioneered ingredients.
Yeah, totally worth calling out. And then also something just kind of a personal note to add is I didn't think to ask this at the time, but I had tried, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but I had swapped my horse from a regular SmartFlex Ultra to SmartFlex Senior. And I didn't know, like I felt like maybe he was feeling better, but it was just really in my head about it. And my farrier one day approached me. He was like, "Hey, like Hirsch is feeling so good." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I mean, he used to get a little bit uncomfortable when he would have to stand as I was doing his shoes, but I really don't have to give him any breaks anymore. Like, he's a lot more comfortable holding his feet up and like being in the cross ties for so long."
Devil's Claw. My first
thought. Definitely, yeah, but I thought it was so cool that like my care team noticed that he was feeling better in a way that I wasn't able to fully articulate. So after that, I would ask him all sorts of questions if I changed something. Be like, "Oh, like, did you notice this? Like, how did you feel? Did it with my vet? Did it with my trainer? Did it with the staff who were like leading him out to the pasture or bringing him in?" When they told me that he was super fresh and he was being like a kite in March, I was like, "Hey, I'm so sorry, but also I nailed it."
Love it. We love seeing our old boys running around the pastures. Like, take it easy because I pay your vet bills, but also I'm so glad you feel good, right?
Yeah. But also worth just like touching base and checking in with the other people who really handle and manage and are around your horse a lot. Because it was really cool getting their feedback and knowing that I felt a lot better just having their input on how he was doing. So
I love that.
Just my little note there. But yeah, so you said it, Devil's Claw. So I want to talk about all the like the herbal supports and what those look like and like what kind of horses use them, what herbs are in them, why do they work?
Yeah.
And like you've done before, I'm going to let you take it away because if not, I'm just going to keep asking questions.
So obviously, Devil's Claw, really cool ingredient.
Yeah.
Boswellia is one that you'll see often too. Natural inflammation support there, most notably used for comfort versus like structural support. So it's not going to have the same structural support that you would see, for example, in like hyaluronic acid, but it is going to aid your horse in just being a little bit more comfy. And that's like Devil's Claw has a huge claim to fame for that. Something to note here, though, which is why we have Flex Senior and Flex Senior Herb Free, is because always check with the regulating body. If you are showing your horse, many herbs are not competition legal. So always make sure that you're checking USIF, FEI, AQAH, whoever you're showing under, make sure that you know your discipline's rule book and what ingredients are or are not permitted. And make sure that, you know, we do have options for Senior Herb Free if that is something that you need for your horse if you're going to be showing. So while the herbals can be super cool, oftentimes they're not permitted.
Yeah. And I also want to note that I think herbal supplements sometimes get a bad rap anecdotally for being like hard for horses to eat because it can like be upsetting or can like add to gastric distress. And if your horse is prone to that, always worth having a conversation with your care team. But we've said it a million times, and I'm going to say it again, like if your horse is getting a whole ton of hay, if their body is being maintained the way that nature intended for them, like I've not personally known a horse that's had any issue with them, but you know your horse best. If you're at all worried about how herbs can affect your horse's diet, talk to your vet, look at their overall diet. But again, personal experience, putting my horse who was 24 and had the medium stages of DSLD on SmartFlex Senior, it was really cool watching him go from looking like a creaky older horse to looking like a very thriving senior. So it's definitely worth the exploration, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I love that we have so many options for the senior horses or the creaky horses or the slightly stiff horses. And those ones are always so near and dear to my heart. But there's also different ways that we can deliver a lot of these supplements. And I know like on our website alone, we have like powder, pellets, liquids, and there's probably, I mean, you mentioned injections, which is not the same thing, but there's there's a lot out there. So can we talk about like the different ways you can deliver these supports and like what that means?
Yes, of course. So yeah, you'll notice when you're shopping for a dietary supplement of really any kind, but you know, joint included, that you're going to see powders, pastes, pellets, liquids, and they all have different pros and cons to them. So we'll start off with the pellet because I feel like that is so widely used and widely available. Pellets are great because they're easy to feed, right? They're a dose that kind of blends in for most horses, right? Blends into the rest of their feed. The super smart ones can pick them out, I know, and like leave the supplement behind. Extruded pellets format very similar to like the complete feed grain that you're going to be feeding your horse. So hard for them to distinguish the supplement from the feed. So it makes it really easy to administer that every day. Powders are cool because they typically come in a very small serving size. So the pellets are a little bit bigger, a little bit bulkier. The powders are a little bit smaller, take up fewer wells in your smart pack. Some horses, though, can be tough to feed powders. I know Andy is not a powder guy. He will leave it at the bottom of his feed bin. Tilly, on the other hand, will lick it clean. So, you know, it's just a matter of ensuring that we're providing an option for various different horses and, you know, what their appetite looks like and what type of eaters they are. So we have two different formats there.
Yeah. And I think there's something cool, too, where powders are sometimes a little bit less expensive, not always, sure, but sometimes. So for anybody who's looking to ball out on a budget and you're not sure if your horse is going to eat a powder, there's always, you know, putting a little bit of water in and trying to mix it just a little bit, just enough where we'll stick to the rest of what they're getting for their meal times. Right. There's like toppers that are, you know, either sugar-free or made without any added sugars. People will do like molasses or oils or things like that, whatever's going to work. But if you want to try it, or if the supplement that you love, like I think a lot of Cosequin used to only be in powders, and they've since expanded their line, which is great. But for some places that only do powders, there's definitely options to help encourage your horse to eat it. But at the end of the day, if your horse is like Andy, or if he's one of those ponies that just always works around whatever it is, like pellets are available, other options are available. And I think we were just about to get into it, but liquids are also available. And that's a little bit newer for us, but it's pretty cool.
Yes, liquids too. So, I mean, what I always say is like the best supplement that you can feed your horse is one that your horse is going to eat.
Oh, so, that's so true.
Compliance to the program is the key here. So if your horse does best, it's not like liquids are better than pellets are better than powder. It's what your horse is going to do best on is the best one. Because if you spend a lot of money on supplements every month and then they get left behind in your horse's feed bin, even if they are the greatest, most revolutionary, earth-shattering product on the face of the earth, if your horse isn't eating them, not going to be doing much, right?
So would you say fed is best?
I would say fed is best. Yes.
In so many ways.
Like the product that your horse is going to eat is the product that you should be feeding them. Great. So we also offer liquid products. What the advantageous parts about liquid? One, they're very easy to mask and feed. Some of the liquid products can be as small as like a teaspoon and a half. Small, highly concentrated formulas. I think Smart Perform Advanced is maybe like a half of an ounce twice a day. So really small serving sizes. You're able to top dress it right on their feed. Harder for them to distinguish. Less concern with palatability. So again, daily consistent use is key for all supplements, not just necessarily for joint supplements. So making sure that you're choosing the delivery format that your horse likes best is how you're going to get the most out of your supplement.
For anybody out there who's used a liquid supplement and they're like, okay, girl, but that sucks. I get it. Sometimes they're really sticky. They attract every piece of dust and debris in the feed room. So as a reminder, my title is digital marketer. Let me do just one more second of marketing really quick. We've talked about smart packs. We have easy pouches, which are like the single supplement serving, but we also have liquid packs. So if you haven't tried them, they look like little ketchup packets. They're really cool. You can squeeze them out like a ketchup packet and it gets all of the liquid into your horse's feed. You don't have to use the pump. And I'm going to be honest, when we first came out with them, I was like, do we really need one more delivery service?
Yes, we do.
We actually do. I went to a photo shoot where we use them and I was like, wait, why is this actually so
easy? I know.
Easy?
So, I'm a convert. To gush on that. I'm with you, Hundo. I mean, obviously, I invented them. So I'm very biased here.
These might have sucked to the founder. That's my bad. But
No. I mean, listen, you know, people have pros and cons for everything. For me, the reason that it was so amazing is we've got 60 horses to feed and you can't bring a gallon pump in the feed cart up and down the aisle during every single feed. So if all of my horses in the barn were on some type of liquid, Mm-hmm. Odds are that that liquid is going to be administered and then sit there for 12 hours overnight until the horses are, you know, fed in the morning or however. So being able to put the liquid packs in their feed bin and then not open them until the minute that they get fed, because, you know, the whole story here is easy, it's fresh, it's consistent. So the little ketchup packets are like my firstborn child. Not actually. It was my secondborn child. Millie's not listening. Right. Like I was so excited to bring those to market for that reason. So a really cool way for the people who are tired of the gunky pumps. We now have liquid packs. And so far, it's available in all of our Smart Equine branded liquid products. So stay tuned for more products that are coming in the liquid packs as well.
That's pretty cool. And I know we've talked about how like that... like delivery is important for your horse to be able to eat it. Delivery is also important for you as a horse owner, a rider, a barn manager, to be able to just do it effectively and make sure that the 60 or 20 or even 3 horses under your care are getting the consistent care that you want. So I think it's so much of it is whatever works for you, which is why we kind of keep trying to make new things to work for different people. But also with the consistency, we talked about at the beginning, I'm going to talk about it again. Just a reminder that these take a minute. Like consistency is so key because these don't show up immediately. You don't feel better because you went to the gym one time or ate one salad. So give it time.
Right.
Keep yourself consistent. Keep your horse consistent. It's definitely worth putting that into your routine and making it part of the habit, especially for anybody who's just starting and they have like a new young horse. Like the best way to do anything is to start yesterday. So start it today because you have so much time and so many years left with your great partner. If you've got a horse who's 15 and still going strong, great. Again, if you could have started it yesterday, that would have been great, but you can start today. So I always love that. Just whenever you can, add it to your horse's diet. It's so worth it.
Amen. Amen. And
your friend for a long time.
You know, there's also a lot of products that span through not just, I mean, obviously we're the Smart Equine podcast, so we're talking about Smart Equine, but there are products that span every niche of joint product that you could imagine. And also depending on your wallet share, you know, there's single ingredient support that could be appropriate when you just need, like we had talked about diets low in sulfur, adding a little bit of MSM for support there. All the way up to like our combo ultimates and our performance formulas that use these synergistic blends of ingredients. Like I had mentioned, the Mother Nature Big Three, resveratrol, turmeric, et cetera. So depending on what your horse needs, what stage of life they are in, there's a product that will fit them just perfectly.
Yeah. And we could go on for years.
Yeah, we could. No, we could. But, we could gush for a long time.
But I do really want to take time to talk about like the... I'm so used to talking about supplements. I get nervous saying the word drug.
No, drugs.
I'm like so, I'm so trained to not use that word, but I do want to talk about that because it's a different way to help support your horse. There's different things that you go through to get there. There's different people you have to talk to. It's not just, you know, calling up Smart Equine and ordering a supplement. So
when it comes it's different. To
these kind of like prescription joint support options, what do you got for us?
Yeah. So obviously I'm not a vet. And these are things that you are absolutely going to use after veterinary diagnostics and working with your care team. Sure. So in scenarios like OCD, OA, lameness, acute joint injury, these are things you're going to call your vet for. This is not going to be like Andy has a stiff shoulder, right? So obviously these are drugs. The difference between drugs and dietary supplements is that drugs are intended to diagnose, treat, cure. So that's really cool. There are, you know, FDA approved compounds that go through 3 phases of clinical trials. So they do promise a lot more than supplements, and they are allowed to do that. So the two that I think that we are most used to seeing are Ataquan and Legend. Yeah. Legend is HA, so hyaluronic acid, both IV and intra-articular, so 2 different routes to administer it. The claims here are that it's going to improve synovial fluid, that it's going to reduce inflammation. Cool, we can actually talk about reducing inflammation because this is a drug. And the inflammatory mediators in the joint capsule helping to reduce those and then improve soundness. Ataquan is a polysulfated glycosaminoglycan. Remember I said put a pin in that, right?
Yeah, we're talking about.
It's FDA approved treatment to treat arthritis. So really cool here. One of the only products on the market that are claimed to do that has been shown to restore synovial fluid, reduce inflammation, repair joint cartilage, and actually reduce the disease process, which is so cool.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I mean, listen, drugs are fantastic. Pharmacotherapy and the leaps and bounds that they have made in advancing technology in equine medicine is unbelievable. And I am a huge believer in Ataquan. I absolutely love it. I used to, when Andy was competing, like consistently and he had a lot of demand on him, I was actually doing Adequan injections every 4 days, period.
Wow.
So not just like every four days for like the 28 and then, no, I was doing it like all show season. That's off label. So I'm not giving veterinary advice. I'm just saying, I do believe in them. But when you look at the full picture, you know, I see my supplements as an adjunct to that, right? So in a world where you're using your veterinary guidance, you're using pharmacotherapy, these reasons to believe, you know, your Adequan, your Legend, your corticosteroids, your HA injections, whatever the case may be, your supplements are another tool to add to that toolkit to give you just a really holistic approach. So in a typical scenario where you're doing a 7-round regimen every 4 days of Adequan, that still leaves you with 11 months out of the year where you could be using prophylactic supplements to aid in the support and comfort of your horse. So I like to use them all together. So when we talk about the house and we talk about nutrition and proper management being the pillars and the foundation of that house and, you know, the 4x4s that hold up everything and then the mortar that goes into it, you know, you have your drugs and then you have your supplements, which are like, you know, the pretty handles in your kitchen. So everything comes together to create, you know, a big holistic approach. And I think it's just really important to understand that drugs certainly are a fundamental piece of that. And then you also have like NSAIDs, right? Short-term comfort versus long-term management. These are going to be typically pain relievers and anti-inflammatory agents like Equiox. You do have the risk of masking pain, right? Which is why they're not show legal. You typically are not going to be able to show on NSAIDs. And that's because they don't want horses that are in pain galloping around just because they feel good on drugs. But it's a really great tool. We do appreciate. With typical NSAIDs like butbandamine, you typically do have the risk of gastric ulceration. But because Equiox is a selective COX-2 inhibitor, it's only targeting pain and inflammation. So the claim to fame for Equiox is that it typically is sparing some of the side effects that other NSAIDs would often come with.
I knew that.
Yeah, very cool. So they're definitely not a replacement for pharmacotherapy joint support. Like you could use Adequan and Legend together with Equiox or NSAIDs. So, and you could use all of that together with Smart Perform Advanced or, you know, Smart Stride Ultra. So again, these are all pieces and parts to like the overarching care program. Prescription therapies and supplements are not competitors. They're tools in the same toolbox, right? These are synergistic therapies that we're using together to create just a really all-encompassing holistic approach to joint health.
Yeah, I love that. And I think something too that I just want to call out, could not agree more with everything you said. And I really appreciate all these like really intensive insights, but you and I made the joke that, like, you know, we can say the word drug, we can say the word inflammation. And for anybody who doesn't work at a supplement company, we can't say those with supplements because it's not what they do. So, like, just being really, really clear, like, if you ever are on the phone or like looking at a website and you're like, why doesn't this supplement say it's going to reduce my horse's inflammation? Why doesn't the supplement say it's going to help my horse's pain? It can't. Like, legally, it can't. So,
and
just really, really clear. Yeah, go ahead.
On the other side of that coin, if you see a supplement that does say it can do those things, that's a red flag because that's what drugs do. So if your supplement is promising to cure OA or, you know, reverse OCD lesions, right, those things legally cannot be true, right? So that's what we would look to drugs for. So your supplement cannot perform those tasks. So important note there.
Yeah, it's worth just taking a really good look at what the supplement company you use is saying about your supplements, making sure that they are providing the right claims, that they understand how their products work, and that they're not misleading you. Because like you said at the beginning, Ashley, there's a lot of people who feel like supplements are snake oil, and there are unfortunately still some people out there who are selling snake oil. So hopefully this helps give people some confidence in feeling like they have a better idea of what to look for and what to find in the right support for their horse. And like as we've said, there's a million options out there. So I also want to talk a little bit quick about like, what do you look at to choose the right, like, we're not going to be able to, you know, give every horse's, you know, bio and give them the option, but what do you look at for a horse to help make the right choice for a joint support?
That's a great question. And I have two very different horses, right? I have a 20-year-old, 1,500-pound, 17-hand warm blood who has evented through preliminary and is now, you know, dropping back down in his life. He's a little bit older. His workload has come down. He's not competing USEA as much. And so I'm going to consider age, workload. Are they competing? Are they not? What's your budget? What's your long-term goal with them? Whereas Tilly, she's a young horse. She's on her way up in her career. Her competition status is hopefully going to be much more plentiful. My long-term goals is that she will be my primary eventing horse. So those are the things that you're constantly going to have in your mind, right? you're going to be considering what is that horse's job? And you know, some of them, their jobs are going to be to hang out in your pasture so that when you open up your window, you see them and they look pretty. And that's great. And so for that pasture buddy, serviceably sound pasture sound is the goal. And that is a lot different than a 5-star eventer, right? So you're certainly going to consider that.
And those are both different from the school pony that really just
100%
needs to be able to trot around and let a beginner learn how to post. And so for that horse, if it's a devil's claw supplement all day, every day, plus a little bit of equiox support or whatever else you may need, like, heck yeah, do what you gotta do.
Quick shout out to the school ponies. You guys make this world go round. They're not listening. I know they can't hear us. Maybe they can. Maybe someone is airing this.
If you're currently listening to this while mucking out the school pony barn, take the headphones off, open it up. Just
hug your school ponies, man. Where we all started, every school pony, they deserve the moon. So,
and knowing how we all learned to post, just
I know,
make sure we put some joy supplements in for their back. Bless them.
Oh, man.
But I also do love that one of the things that you called out for what to consider when looking at joint supplement is budget.
Yeah.
Because horses, I don't know how many times we can say this in an episode, but like, they're expensive. Like, this is not a joke. Like, this is very much a big commitment. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I can't afford a $250 joint supplement every month, girl, you are not alone. Find what works for your horse and also find what works for you so you can eat maybe a little bit more than ramen throughout the month and get some nutrition of your own into your body. There's nothing wrong with supplying what you can reasonably do. So just keeping 100%. That in mind as validation for everybody out there who's doing their best with what they have. You are truly doing your best.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, we have products like our Leg Up line and our Smart and Simple that are going to be a little bit more tailor-made. Everything you need, nothing you don't. So like you said, there is something that meets every price point. And if right now your price point is $0 and learning about supplements is how you're supporting your horse, that's a great move too.
Yeah. And remember, what was it? Movement is medicine. So
movement is medicine and it's free. Movement's free.
$0 in your budget. You've always got that. But then I really appreciate that we've talked about, you know, reading labels and what to look for ingredients, what to look for in like marketing terminology, because those things are definitely important too. Looking for, you talked about like serving sizes for supplements and then dosing for drugs. Is there anything in that we need to keep an eye out for?
I'm going to let the vets handle that.
Okay. So talk to your vet. How much your horse should be getting for drug support. Your veterinarian's
That's a bet. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I know about drugs insofar that I give them to my horses, right? I'm not the drug expert. I'm not a pharmacist. I'm not a vet. So that's certainly a conversation. I only bring them up today to, you know, kind of highlight their importance and their role in an overall joint care program because they are vital to that ecosystem, but it's certainly not my forte. So definitely if you believe that your horse needs pharmacotherapy or that your horse is already on pharmacotherapy and you want to learn more about it, your vet is definitely the resource for that.
Love that. And I think if there's anything that I would want people to like really walk away from all of this, because I know it's a lot. Like this is we've talked for a long time. We've taken up two episodes on this, which is a first time for us. But if there's anything I want you guys to walk away from, it's that there's not like one singular, like this is the best joint supplement for your horse ever, for every horse ever. There's gonna be options that are gonna fit, you know, what you're doing, what your goals are, what you can afford, and what you believe in. And I think that's a little bit overwhelming when there's so many options out there, but it's also really nice to know that there are enough options out there that you can absolutely find what's going to work for you guys. And again, I'll plug it one more time. I'm a liar. I said I wouldn't, but our customer care team does a really great job of literally holding your hand and walking you through all of your questions. I know I was one of them. It was one of the best parts of the day when somebody called in and they're like, I don't know where to start. I just know that I want to start. So never feel like that's a bother or a bad thing. Your veterinarian also probably loves having those conversations. Who doesn't want to talk about proactive care for the horse that you love? Like who doesn't want to make sure that your horse is going to be around for as long as possible, as comfortable as possible. So that's my big soapbox that I will step down from now.
No, I totally agree. There is no best supplement, just the best fit for you, your horse, your scenario, and your goals. So I think that's amazing. So, I mean, the overarching themes here, start with movement, have a fantastic nutrition program, a forage-first approach to feeding your horse, focus on your nutrition, focus on management, do the best that you can. And, you know, this, what we've talked about today is really the cherry on top there. So I think, Jenna, holy smokes, between two episodes, I think we have mostly hit it all.
I think we've covered everything that's like within our realm and depth of being able to cover appropriately.
That's right.
Whew, we did it, guys. We got through our first two-parter, and hopefully you guys came away with something other than, holy crap, these two talk a lot, but it was fun to be able to do all of this and really dive in deep, so thank you for really flexing all of those OCHEM muscles with us. Hey, y'all, still with us? Good, it's giveaway time. As a reminder, giveaways now run for the full month, which means this one closes on February 28th, so that's plenty of time to still get entered. We're giving away a classic Smart Equine prize package, so the winner will receive a $25 Smart Equine gift card and a Smart Equine thermos, one of which I have on my desk right now with some tea. But don't worry, the winner will get a clean one, I promise. You can enter to win by clicking or tapping on the link in the podcast description, which will take you to our giveaway form, or you can go there directly at www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. Good luck. You can find links to today's products in the show notes on your podcast player or on our website at www.smartpackequine.com.
We are here twice a month on the 15th and 30th, but in between, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine, or you can shop online at smartequine.com. Until next time, stay smart, stay sound,
and give your horse a cookie from us.